God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 20th day of December, 2006, and you are listening to our Wednesday evening broadcast. The message tonight from our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, preaching from the second chapter of Luke. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you are at in the world listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. God bless you, and thank you for listening.
Well, Luke chapter 2 tonight, going to spend just a few minutes here tonight as we try to give just a Christmas challenge. Christmas to me, I'll be honest with you, is a wonderful time of year. And yet I'm always amazed at how depressed and discouraged, and you say, preach, you're laughing. I know. But I'm just amazed at what a downtime it is for so many people. I mean, almost like people can't wait for it to be over with. I've actually heard people say that, you know, man, I can't wait till the Christmas season is over with. And I'm thinking, you got to be kidding me. You know how many snacks have been brought to the office? And I can do this every week. I mean, it's forcing me to exercise even more just to get rid of it. I mean, that's how bad it is. But I mean, I go in, I'm stuffing fudge down, and some of you make good fudge. I'm telling you right now. No, it's good stuff. And do not show up tomorrow and try to take the fudge away, I'll tell you right now. But I mean, you got some platters came in last couple days, and I'm going through snacking as much as I can. It's good. But it is. I'll talk to people like, man, I just can't wait till it's over with. I mean, the busy crowds at the store and people on the streets. And by the way, don't complain about traffic in Ponca City, please. You know, and all that kind of stuff. You know, I'm rushed around. I got to make sure I get the right gifts and make everybody happy. And that's probably a lot of your problem anyway. But I'm just like, everybody's stressed out. And not everybody, but I mean, there's so many people that get caught up in that. And not just the world. I mean, Christian people. It's like, this is a bummer. And for me, I'm thinking, man, we're celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ. We're talking about the one who saved our soul. We're talking about celebration, excitement, wonderful time. And yet so many Christians, if we'd go into our homes, you'd see, bah humbug. I mean, there'd just be this great, I had to put up the tree. I had to put up the lights. I had to go Christmas shopping. And all this stuff. And I thought, man, it's just so weird to me. And especially when you think about Christmas, so many families being together is so important. As a matter of fact, it's kind of unthinkable not to go home at Christmas time, if you know what I mean. I mean, if you're not there, I really, it's like if you've got a mom or dad and you don't at least make some attempt to see them at Christmas time, you want to talk about offending somebody. That's the quickest way I know. And most of the TV shows, they show our military who can't come home. And even on Christmas Day and leading up to it, they'll be having, you know, live video feeds, and they'll allow those families to talk. And, man, you'll see the excitement and joy because even the world knows, man, it's just important to be together during this time. And yet, with all that taking place, I think with all that happening, it is so easy. And we talk about it every year, but I just want to remind us tonight. I just want to try to be an encouragement to you tonight, just to be honest. And it won't be real long. We won't be here more than 2 hours. Just a short little encouragement. Be real short. But really, I just want to take tonight, just real short, just spend a couple of minutes. And I want to get back to helping remind you about the meaning of Christmas. Now, and this is really what I talk about. How in the world do we miss Christmas? How do you miss Christmas? Now, before you say, well, preacher, you know, it's, we don't miss Christmas. No, really. If you go all the way back, we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, if you want to turn there real quick. But if you even go all the way back to the first Christmas, you got to be honest, they missed it, okay? I mean, let's just be honest. They missed Christmas. And you take a look at that, and it's been over 2,000 years. We've read this story every year. They've written books upon it. They got all these movies, books, literature about Christmas and when it's coming. And you all know it's December 25th, but I guarantee you, every year, multitudes miss Christmas, including Christians. So how can you, with all the knowledge, all the history, be exactly, I'm going to tell you right now, we're going to look at it, be exactly like it was the very first Christmas? I am convinced that we've reverted back 2,000 years to the same way it was back then. I'm convinced of it. I really am. And as you look at the passage, I believe you're going to see the same thing. And so we're going to spend just a few minutes tonight. And I want to remind you, don't miss Christmas. Now, I know for a lot of us, you know, a lot of people talking to Brian, you know, pass away between Thanksgiving and Christmas, and they're sorrowful times, and you know, because you have a loss of a loved one and stuff. And there's a lot of things that happen. A lot of people get depressed. There's a lot of things that can just flood in during this time. But I'd like us to refocus for just a few minutes tonight. And I hope it'll be encouragement to you before it comes up this Sunday and Monday that we would not miss the real meaning of Christmas. I'm not saying abandon the gifts and the trees and all that kind of stuff. I'm just saying, Let's remember why. Because if we don't, we'll be no better than the first group that totally missed it. We'll be no better than them at all. Well, let's look at Luke chapter 2. Let's go ahead and stand, if you would. Luke chapter 2 and verse 11, the Bible says here, and look at this verse, and we'll come back and do some more reading a little bit later, but it says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." A Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Lord, we come to you now. We thank you for being our Savior. We, above all people, Lord, in the face of the earth, should understand the importance of your birth. Lord, it is from your birth, Lord, and through your death, burial, and resurrection, that we've attained the salvation that you have so freely given us. And tonight, Lord, we just want to rejoice in that. Lord, I just want to take a few minutes and just remind the congregation through your word, Lord, about the wonderful meaning of Christmas. That which we know in our head, but sometimes forget in our heart. So, Lord, I pray tonight that we'd be reminded of this great event, that we might take that joy with us and share it with others. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So my question that came to me this week was, how could you really miss it? I mean, so I went back, started reading kind of about the first Christmas, and most of you are familiar with it, so I'm not going to go all the way through all of it. But as you go back, you start doing some of the reading in Matthew and in Luke, and I thought, how could they miss it? And let me just tell you a couple of reasons why I believe that we even right now today, that parallels with why they miss Christmas and why we miss Christmas. And the first thing I came up with was this. I said, you know what? They were familiar with it, and yet they missed it. You know why one of the reasons we miss Christmas? Familiarity. You ever hear the word familiarity breeds contempt? Okay, that saying? I mean, really, when you know when you're familiar with something, you kind of think that you know it. You think you got a handle on it, but it can just kind of go by you real quick. I really believe they were so familiar. When you go back to the study of the wise men, I mean, these guys travel all this way, hundreds upon hundreds of miles, because they're following this prophecy that most likely came from Daniel. And as they're following this prophecy because of Daniel's writings and Daniel understanding the Old Testament law and explaining it to those wise men from the east, and as they read probably from him and then took this journey hundreds upon hundreds and thousands of miles, and they arrive. And imagine, put yourself there. They arrive in Jerusalem. They go to King Herod, and they go, "We followed his star. His star has guided us. Where is he? And we've read the prophecies, and here we are." And he goes, well, hang on a second. I'll go check it out. And so they wait, and all of a sudden he goes, he gets the wise men, the scribes, Pharisees, all the wise men together there in the Jerusalem. And they come and say, yeah, that's the Messiah. Yeah, it's prophesied right here. Yeah, he's going to come. And they give him all the details and say, yeah, it's probably the Messiah. Let's stop for you for a minute. They knew. The scribes, the Pharisees, they knew. They come back. The king says, go to Bethlehem. He's supposed to be born. And they start giving him details and say, hey, and by the way, when you get there, come back and report it, would you? Now think about that. Shouldn't there be this long entourage going? I mean, it's their king of the Jews. It's their Messiah. And there was just this familiarity. Oh, they've studied it. They went to seminary. They knew it. They knew the prophecy. But guess what? Nobody cared. They gave the information. And the wise men, however, by the way, there could have been more than three. I just want you to know. Okay? But the wise men come and they show up and they give their gifts and off they go. And I'm thinking, where were the Jews to be so familiar with the prophecy, to know it front and back, to explain it to somebody else? But when the time came, it didn't impact them at all. And I thought, wow. We are a church. We know the Christmas story. If we'd give you the Christmas story quiz, you'd probably do pretty good. Okay, I mean, we've heard it every year. We break it out. If I'd start reading the whole Christmas story in Luke chapter 2, you'd probably phase out of me. Oh, you'd be looking at me, but you wouldn't be there. Trust me, preachers know what that is, okay? So all of you that do that, you don't surprise us. You know, it's kind of this look. I mean, the eyes are opening, but the nose is there, and really, you're probably snoring. Going, I just can't hear you from up here. But, you know, you're kind of in a daze, you know, and you've heard it. You know, so as the story's being read, you're like, blah, 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 blah. He goes, born, wrapped, swaddled in clothes, angels, singing, and shepherds. Okay, I got a preacher. I mean, we know it. I mean, we really do. You turn it on, the little Christmas video, and you're like, I know what happens next. No big deal. And we're familiar with this. No big deal. So were they. And the same attitude was there. Yeah, it happens this way, and this way. And it was all right here. But wait. But it wasn't right here. There's something about Christmas. Christmas is the spirit of Christ. And I'm telling you, you can have all the hoopla and you can have all the things. You can know the story frontward and backward. You can attend all the services and go. But I'm telling you, if it's not right here, you missed it, folks. I mean, you missed it. Man, you and I, we carry the spirit of Christ with us. If anybody ought to be familiar with it and be excited at Christmas time, I'm thinking it ought to be us. And with all that's happening to you and me and everybody else, we ought to still not be so familiar that we let it pass us by. Look at Matthew chapter 13 real quick. Let me show you a couple scripture verses. Matthew chapter 13 will show you the familiarity of the people. Even after Christ's birth, as you look here in Matthew chapter 13, the same philosophy was kind of predominant there. Look what it says there in verse 55. Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended. Look at this. And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there. Why? Because of their unbelief. They said, isn't this Joseph? Joseph's son? Jesus? Doesn't he have brothers and sisters? And he went to school with our kids and we eat with them and we know him. And didn't we go to his bar mitzvah or something? I mean, come on. We know this guy. And you're telling me now he's God? No, you don't understand. He's human like us. Oh, they were familiar with his humanity, but they'd forgotten his deity. That familiarity threw them off. And I'm scared today that maybe the same type of familiarity has entered into our world. Today, we're too familiar with the story. We know he came to save the world, but many aren't saved. We know he came to bring peace, but so many Christians live without peace. We know the story. We know that he is the story, but it seems to be just a story. You know, I'm reminded of, and matter of fact, when I studied this, I went back to the Old Testament. And when I was thinking about just being familiar with something and how you get so used to it, I am fully convinced that we can have a really good thing and not even understand it. Are you aware of that? I think you can be, so I think, you know, I've got a wonderful wife, but I can miss how wonderful she is just by familiarity. You know, you can have wonderful kids and not realize it because of familiarity. You can have a wonderful church and miss it. You know why? Familiarity. I think about in the Old Testament. Can you imagine, ladies, every day getting up and you don't have to shop? You get up, and now think about this. You get bread made in heaven. Heaven. I'm telling you, not even you could burn it, okay? And that's how good this stuff is. I mean, those of you who say, I can't cook, preacher, you could cook back then, man. I mean, you get up every day and you grab this stuff, and I mean, it's a sweet flavor. And you know what it's called, don't you? It's called manna. You remember that? And every day they get up, they get, now think about this, bread from God. It's manna from God himself. How can you miss that? And then one day go, excuse me. Tired of manna. We want some quail. I don't like it anymore. I'm sick and tired of this. My mind thinks, what are you, brain dead? How could you complain about manna? That's like complaining about a T-bone steak every day. You know, really, if you do that, guess what? I am not listening to you. Oh, I had to grow up. We had steak and potatoes every day. Ooh. Oh, sorry. Oh, wow. Apologize. You don't know what it's like, preacher, to have to eat steak and potatoes every day. Gee, let's try it. Now put yourself into something that God designed, something that's so good. But you see how we are? Man, you got to eat something every day, man. You get tired of it. I remember Brother Elby, man. That guy ate oatmeal every day. Every single day he ate oatmeal. You know what's sad? And he liked it. He liked it. But you know, I'm thinking, man, that's the spirit. I mean, here in the Old Testament, they had manna. And wait, they complained and they got mad and they got upset. They even complained, let's go back to Egypt, man. Want to get the leeks and the onions and all the good food to eat. Good food? It's manna from God. Familiarity. I want to challenge you, be careful. Christmas has become so familiar that we're missing the point. We're missing the point. Secondly, I thought about this, and secondly, I wrote down the formality. In Luke chapter 2, if you go back over there in verses 1 through 3, I'll remind you of what was really taking place. It was a busy time back then. That's probably why most people missed it. In Luke chapter 2, as you go back and take a look at it in verse 1, the Bible says, and it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. You all remember that. The whole reason everybody was going back was to be taxed. It says, and this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone to his own city. So there were travel plans. There was packing. There was trying to find a motel, which obviously there was no room in the inn, trying to find tax money. The soldiers keeping order. The priests preparing extra worshipers. Everyone was busy with formality. They got to get back to their hometown. Got to find a place. Got to collect the money. Got to get it going. Does that sound very familiar to anybody? I got to go shopping. Got to wrap the gifts. Got to get the tree up. Got to get the ornaments up. Got to go to the parties. Got to get everything done. Everybody was busy. Got to get extra money. Got to do this. And I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm just saying the whole formality of the whole ordeal began to take precedent. And as everybody was getting caught up with how familiar everything was and then how formal everything was, right there, the little town of Bethlehem, comes Mary and Joseph. And you know the story, there's no room in the inn. And out there in the manger,
little baby Jesus, the most important birth the world had ever seen. The most important birth in the world. And guess what? They all missed it. Matter of fact, you know how I know they missed it? God had to go tell the shepherds. So the angels show up and say, we need some people at the birth. This is God. Okay, you know, just the most important birth on the face of the earth. Y'all want to go show up? So here come, you know, the shepherds coming in. And how could you imagine? But think about it. God had to go get people to show up for the most important birth on the face of the earth. Literally, you know what this means? There are people in the inn next to the manger who were worried about having running water. Didn't have enough towels. Not enough soap. Too crowded conditions. And yet right there, God was born. And nobody knew. You know, if you got up and read the Bethlehem paper the next day, it wasn't Jesus born, Messiah coming. It was sick and tired of taxes. You know, no room in the inn. Everything's booked. Economy's up. People are making a lot of money in Bethlehem. Not a word, I'm telling you right there. Not one word about Jesus Christ. And it was the most important event. But why? Because everybody was caught up with their life. Just a formal thing. I remember when the boys were little, we used to read them some stories. And they might remember this one. Maybe they don't. And I'm not going to ask them to come up and tell it, so that's okay. But the one story that I remember that stuck in my mind and that we would read to them in this series of stories was about a king who had four children that he decided to go back to see. So he sent an announcement saying, listen, I'm coming back to see you. And so they got all excited. And so they all decided to get a special gift for their father as he was coming back. Well, one could sing really, really good, but just endowed with a beautiful voice. And so she got together and just began to practice and practice, got a big concert together. Everything was ready to go, just excited. One, according to the story, was a good painter. And so he sat down and just honed in his skills. Matter of fact, he secluded himself up on a hill and wouldn't let anybody come and talk to him because he wanted to paint really, really well. Another was a magician. And he honed in his skills as a magician and got together a great symphony that he could play. So when his dad came, he could play for him. But the last one, the fourth one, didn't seem to have any talent at all. The best thing the last one could do is all she could really do is just talk. Just love to talk to people. Talk to him, talk to her, talk to them. Just kind of always, just always talking. Thought, man, I have nothing. So went around. So first of all, she went up to the singer and said, listen, I have nothing to give Dad. Can you help me? And the singer said, listen, I'm too busy getting a song together. Go talk to someone else. Said, okay. So then she went to the painter and said, hey, could you teach me to paint? I got to get a gift for Dad. He's going to be coming. And I want him to have something special. And the painter said, listen, I'm too busy doing my own thing. Go talk to someone else. And then thirdly, of course, goes to the magician, the same story. So off she went on her own, just kind of wandering around going, I have no gift. Well, as the story goes, the king showed up. But instead of showing up in the normal pomp and all the great, you know, glory of showing up saying, here comes the king. He just came in regular clothes, just kind of wanted to surprise him. Kind of like kids come home, surprise visit on the plane. So he walked into town, he showed up. And nobody really recognized him because he wasn't wearing, you know, the kingly clothes. So he walked in, decided to go see the singer. Problem is, she was singing a beautiful song. So he walked out, and the place was crowded. And he walked up, tried to get in, and talked to some ushers and so forth. They said, I'm sorry, you're late. You're late, you can't get in. But I'm family, I'm sorry. But she's just really too busy, let it go. He goes, okay. So he went on his way. He said, I'll go find someone else. So he went to find his son, the painter. As he got up there, he noticed up on the hill, his son, the painter. He began to walk up with his son because so many people had been bothering him. Had placed somebody down there, and as they walked up, said, excuse me. Said, I'm sorry, you can't see him. He said, yeah, but, no, buts. I'm sorry, he's busy painting, doesn't want to be disturbed. His father's coming, and do not disturb him. So Dad didn't say anything. He said, okay. He said, went on his way to find the musician. But, oh, man, he had the symphony going. He was practicing hard. He didn't want to be disturbed. And finally, he found the youngest. And there they just sat and talked, according to the story, all day long. What a wonderful time they had. And I thought about that, and I said, you know what? As the story went on, the dad took off, said, I'll be coming back. Just came for a short visit to see how you're doing. And the three, the singer, the musician, and the painter, who had all these gifts, never even got to see him. They were so busy honing in their gifts that they missed their dad. Now, that's a very simplistic story that has multiple applications. But I thought about this during this time, and I thought, you know what? Of all the wonderful things you're doing right now, shouldn't the most important just might be taking time for your Heavenly Father? Of everything we do, I'm just thinking the most important thing we ought to be doing is just stopping and saying, God, happy birthday. Yeah, would you miss your birthday? Well, now some of you would because you're above 40. Those of you above 40, you stopped at 39, you don't care. But would you miss your kid's birthday? Oh, no, preacher, never is like that. Of course not. You know why? It's important. Then why would we miss Jesus Christ's birthday? Right. It ought to be the most important thing on our agenda. Whether anything else gets done, whether any of the other formalities go along with it, should all be abandoned for one thing, that I give honor and praise to him. And then I thought of one last thing. Go with me to the end of Luke chapter 2. This is quickly becoming one of my favorite areas in the Christmas story. You know, because everybody missed him, except, of course, the shepherds who were warned by the angels. But in Luke chapter 2, if you go down to about verse 25, there were actually two people anticipating. And this is exciting to me because at least there were two in all of Jerusalem that were actually anticipating the Messiah's coming. The Bible declares, there may have been more, the Bible just declares these two in particular. But the Bible says, and behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. The same man, verse 25 of Luke 2, was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Now, this is a very important man. This is a very godly man. As a matter of fact, at one time he is believed to have ruled the Sanhedrin, the most powerful ruling body at that time in the religious realm. However, history tells us, though, he's not into any of the Mishnah or any of the Jewish writings because he was removed from that position. Why? Because he's so stuck to the Word of God. Are you ready for this? He's so stuck to the Word of God that they removed him. His son, by the way, was Gamaliel. If you know anything about Scripture, he was a mighty man of God as well, knowledgeable in the Word of God. This is the man that now was just consigned to the temple, no longer the great teacher teaching everybody except those that would come to him, but he was just kind of outcast from the mainstream because he decided to wait and believe in the Messiah. Can you believe it? Because he held to the truth of the Old Testament. So here he is, and he's just waiting. The Holy Spirit comes unto him, the Bible says in verse 26, and revealed to him that he would not die before he saw the Lord's Christ. How would you like that? How'd you like it if the Holy Spirit came to you and said, you won't die till Jesus Christ comes back? You think that might excite you? You think you'd be going, oh, this is cool. This is good stuff. I remember Brother Elby told me that. Brother Elby said, you know what? I believe 100% Jesus Christ is coming back before the year 2000. He died December 31st, 1999. He did come back for Brother Elby. He really did. I was like, praise God. But I thought about that. I said, could you imagine? I mean, the Holy Spirit tells him, you're going to live. So every day he goes to the temple and he's looking. He's looking and goes, man, I don't know if he thought he'd see a baby or a young child, but he's looking for the Messiah. Man, he was excited. Read on. Look what it says here. That's good stuff. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, verse 27. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, which is after 41 days, you're going to have the circumcision. Then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Talk about prophetic. I've seen salvation. Wow. He says, now I can die. Doesn't mean he died right there. He says, but now I'm ready to die. Let me go. Why? I've seen him. Can you imagine standing there? There's another group that probably missed it. Here's Simeon's going, this is salvation. People walking by going, wow, we got a crazy man here. Now, I don't know, is he drinking before services or what? I mean, he's grabbing the babies and anointing them. What's this going on? I mean, just walking by. Why? They're busy too. I'm thinking, wow, all the people that just didn't get it. Look, he goes down. Verse 31, which thou hast prepared before the face of all the people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. And there was one Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Aser. She was of great age, that means she's old, and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow about 84 years, that's 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord, and spake of him to all them that looked for redemption. You think maybe after 84 years in the temple of fasting and praying and just serving God? Let me ask you, do you think it was worth it to be there that day and to meet Jesus? You think maybe she'd do it all over again and spend 84 years in the temple without a man? Now, those of you women that are married right now, hoping this would be you, let it go. Can I get rid of my husband, preacher, and do this? But I'm going to tell you something. I'm serious. She spent her life dedicated to God, and God honored her by, before she died, said, I'm going to let you see God in the flesh. Wow. Her whole focus on life, Simeon's whole focus on life, is I just want to see God. I just want to have his power and presence in my life. And God said, here you go. And folks, they had to live. They had bills. They had homes. They had stuff to do. It's not that they never did anything else, but the bottom line is they kept their focus right. May I remind you of a verse you're familiar with, Colossians 3:2. Set your affections on things above and not on things below. I just want to remind you at this Christmas time, if you're going to not miss Christmas this year and all the hustle and bustle, you're going to have to decide that you're going to focus on Jesus. Because I'll tell you right now, I've been through enough Christmases to realize if you don't focus on Jesus, it'll fly right by. And all you remember is the gifts and the parties or what you didn't get or, you know, who got mad at who and what food was good and what food was bad and all this kind of stuff. And that's all you'll focus on. And I'm thinking, you know what? If that's all your Christmas becomes, is what you did get or didn't get, okay? Who you had to go be with, and some of you are worried about that right now, okay, or not. If that's all that Christmas is, I'm thinking, you know what? Welcome to way back in about 3 AD, okay? You've missed Christmas just like they did. May I remind you as your pastor tonight, don't become too familiar with the story. It is the greatest story in the face of the earth. Don't get caught up with all the formality of just all the decorations and the gifts. I'm not saying that stuff's bad, I'm saying, but don't get so caught up and busy with it that you forget to focus on the one true meaning. And by the way, let me just help you. It's not about family. It's about Jesus. Now, I'm all for family, and this is a family time, and we have plans to spend a lot of family time together, but I want to remind you of something. Even our Christian culture, sometimes we get things out of whack. I mean, well, Christmas is just about family. No, it's not. Christmas is about worshiping Jesus Christ. And if we'll keep that focus, I'll tell you something, and you may not believe it right now, but if you keep that focus, nothing else will matter, and guess what? You'll get something out of Christmas. You'll get something out of Christmas. You say, what's that, preacher? You just may once again see Jesus in a whole new light, in his deity. It'll be an exciting thing to you. I hope and pray that'll happen to you this Christmas season. Amen.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma, with our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo. If you ever find yourself in Ponca City, I hope you'll stop by First and Grand and give us the chance to get to know you. God bless you. Thank you again for listening.